Will you be in the spirit of prayer with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I mentioned a little bit of the history of Labor Day and why the rights of workers should be of concern to all Christians. But I thought today we might spend a little time steeped in our United Methodist history to understand what the church's role has been and still is when it comes to workers' rights and other social issues. My hope is that we can see that talking about social justice is not just about politics, but rather about our faith being put into action. And so we come by our attention to social concerns honestly, since John Wesley, right? Gotta bring him out when we're talking about our history. John Wesley and the other members of the Holy Club at Oxford, that was, by the way, a derogatory term for their group. They were being made fun of by the other young men at Oxford when they were called the Holy Group, Holy Club. Anyway, they were products of their society. They were really active in the mid to late 18th century in England. And this was a time when these things called societies were being formed. There was a society for the prevention of cruelty to animals. There were religious societies. There were scientific societies. There were educational societies. And so John Wesley started something called the Methodist Societies. And he took these societies, these large groups of people, and divided them into classes, which now we would call small groups, right? So no more than 12 people in a class. They met weekly in addition to going to church and to attending society meetings. In addition to, they met together to study the Bible, to sing, to donate to missions, to share their struggles with each other. They would start their meetings by asking, "How is it with your soul?" And they held each other accountable for when, "Hey, you know, I saw you stumbling out of the pub the other night. What's going on there?" Right? And it was a safe place where you could gather with these trusted people and learn how to walk your Christian life together. They believed that Jesus' teachings commanded us to show love for all of our neighbors at a time when the society around them was really pretty steeped in Calvinist tradition. And they believed that if you were poor or sick, you must have done something to deserve that, or it was simply because you were destined for that life, and you were, in fact, a lost cause. So they didn't spend any time worrying about the prisoner or the sick. And so the Methodists decided that they would be the ones to provide free education for poor children. Maybe you've heard of the school down the road, Kent's Hill. That was a Methodist school. The Maine Wesleyan Seminary is the name it was founded under, and it was one of the first schools that educated both boys and girls. Yay, Kent's Hill, right? Methodists provided low-interest loans to farmers and new business owners, and John and Charles Wesley funded those first loans through their publishing company. In John's journals, you can see that he never gave himself a raise, even though their publishing company was wildly successful. He continued to live on the same salary for about 20 years. They provided support to prisoners and helped people to get out of debtor's prison, which was really just a broken loop, so that these folks could be reunited with their families and actually work to pay off their debt, which they couldn't do while they were in prison. So we have a long history of being involved in social issues. And have any of you heard of the social principles of the United Methodist Church? Oh, just a couple. So how many have heard of the Book of Discipline? Dun, dun, dun. Right. Okay, so the Book of Discipline is our book of church law. We also have a book of worship, by the way, which helps it helped formulate the hymnals, and it gives us orders of worship and some special services, too. So those are the two big books that we have. The social principles are a little tiny pamphlet that are not church law, but they're guidelines, and it gives us the official church, worldwide church's stance on many social issues that cover a variety of topics, and I'll go into more of that in a minute. So, interestingly enough, when do you think these social principles first came into being? Before 1920. That was a good guess, though. You said 18, and I thought you were going for like the 1899 range that we were just talking about with Labor Day. So they officially got voted in 1908, but it was right around the time that Labor Day came into being. You see, it all started with five Methodist Episcopal, that was the name of our church then, the Methodist Episcopal Church, five clergymen who believed that we needed an organization in the church to lead our social ministry. So there was Frank Mason North, who was the mission and evangelism executive to the National Church. I wonder what that job was like. There was Herbert Welch, who was the president of Ohio Wesleyan University. He also became a bishop and the founder of the relief agency that we now fondly know as UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief. Albert Rob Zering was the Methodist publishing house editor at the time. We still have our own Methodist publishing house. And Worth Tippy, who was the social service executive to the National Church. And Harry Ward, who was a pastor serving in Chicago. They created what we now have or know as the General Board of Church and Society. And if you check out some of the stuff on our bulletin board in the back, there are notices, statements from the Board of Church and Society about things like immigration reform. So Reverend Ward, living in Chicago, served as a pastor in the Stockyards District. And he regularly conducted funerals for packing house workers who were killed on the job. They included funerals for children who were killed in those factories. And so he was a strong supporter of the workers' initiative to form a union, and he wanted to inspire the church to have their backs. So he penned what we now have as the Methodist Social Creed. The creed included 11 social reforms he felt the church should champion, including an end to child labor and the sweatshop system, workers' rights, a living wage so you could have one day off a week, and safe workplace conditions. In 1908, the General Conference adopted his statement addressing those social concerns. But we weren't the only church thinking about this stuff. Thinking about how to live our faith practically. Other denominations were doing similar work, and when we joined with the Evangelical United Brethren Church in 1968 to become the United Methodist Church, we began the process of developing a statement that was supported by both churches, and we used the United Brethren's title for that statement, our social principles. Over time, this document has shifted and expanded. It now includes sections on family life, alcohol and other drug abuse, crime and rehabilitation, gambling, mental health, abortion, civil liberties, and peace with justice. So if you're curious about what the church has to say about any of these issues, just Google it. The social principles will come up. In 1972, that was when we actually gave them that title, but it was divided into six primary areas of concern. The natural world, there's all kinds of stuff in there about taking care of the environment. The social community, the economic community, the political community, and the world community. The social principles articulate our ethical aspirations. I love that. Ethical aspirations. The word aspiration just brings the idea of breath, right? This idea of fresh breath, fresh air, our hopes. Now I lost my place. There we go. Our ethical aspirations for the common good and our public policies and our personal commitments. These are the ways that we show that we love God with our whole heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. This is the way that we show our love and desire for our neighbors, that we desire for them what we desire for ourselves. The social principles urge us to make a difference and to live differently in the world, but also to build a different kind of world than we have now. Since 2013, our global church has been in the process of revising these principles, connecting them to make them a little more succinct, to give theological grounding to them, to show this is why we believe this, this is where it comes from in the Bible, and to make them globally relevant. And the first full revision for the last 50 years will be presented at the General Conference next year, 2020. So in honor of Labor Day and our church's long tradition of being involved in social justice issues, I'd like to share with you our social creed, and then I'll invite you to join me in the companion litany. So in your bulletins, there's an insert, and on one side it has the Holy Communion, and on the other side it has our social creed, which I will read for us. We believe in God, creator of the world, and in Jesus Christ, the redeemer of creation. We believe in the Holy Spirit through whom we acknowledge God's gifts and we repent of our sin in misusing these gifts to idolatrous ends. We affirm the natural world as God's handiwork and dedicate ourselves to its preservation, enhancement, and faithful use by humankind. We joyfully receive for ourselves and others the blessings of community, sexuality, marriage, and the family. We commit ourselves to the rights of men, women, children, youth, young adults, the aging, and people with disabilities, to improvement of the quality of life, and to the rights and dignity of all persons. We believe in the right and duty of persons to work for the glory of God and the good of themselves and others, and in the protection of their welfare in so doing, in the rights to property as a trust from God, collective bargaining and responsible consumption, and in the elimination of economic and social distress. We dedicate ourselves to peace throughout the world, to the rule of justice and law among nations, and to individual freedom for all people of the world. We believe in the present and final triumph of God's word in human affairs and gladly accept our commission to manifest the life of the gospel in the world. Amen. If you've wondered why you're sitting in a United Methodist Church, or if you've wondered what the United Methodist Church believes, it can be boiled down to this. This is what the United Methodist Church believes. And it's open to all. So will you join me in our companion litany? It's a responsive reading. God in the Spirit, revealed in Jesus Christ, calls us by grace today is the day God cares for the integrity of creation, wills the healing and wholeness of all life, weeps at the plunder of earth's goodness. Today is the day God embraces all hues of humanity, delights in diversity and difference, favors solidarity, transforming strangers into friends. Today is the day God cries with the masses of starving people, despises growing disparity between rich and poor, demands justice for workers in the marketplace. And so shall we. Today is the day God deplores violence in our homes and streets, rebukes the world's warring madness, humbles the powerful, and lifts up the needy. Today is the day God calls for nations and peoples to live in peace, celebrates where justice and mercy embrace, exults when the wolf grazes with the lamb.
And so shall we. Today is the day God brings good news to the poor.
And so shall we. Amen.